T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
From the lakefront to the riverfront, this is where Wisconsin sports fans come to talk. The Bill Michaels Show. Now, here's your host, Bill Michaels.
Welcome. Bill Michaels Show is on the air. Always glad that you're here. Hey, I want to remind you, don't forget the cigar dinners going on all throughout the state of Wisconsin as we are on tour yet again and really enjoying our time out saying hi to everybody, meeting everybody, and hanging out and having a cigar and telling some stories. So if you have not gotten your tickets yet, I highly suggest you do because these things sell out relatively quick. So this is when it happens to come up. We're going to be in Wausau, which is the next one that is selling quickly. Wausau, July 31st, and that one is selling fast. Also, we're going to be in Sussex, Wisconsin, at an Ironwood golf course coming up in August, also in Chippewa Falls in August. And with this, you get a couple of cocktails, you get some cigars. They give away a ton of stuff, raffle items. We tell some great stories. You get dinner. It's a lot of fun. And for those that have been there, you know exactly what it is I'm talking about. And for those that haven't, the curiosity is not going to get you there. You need to give them a checkout. And that is by going to tobaccooutletplusgrocery.com. Tobaccooutletplusgrocery.com. And I've always said, even if you don't smoke cigars, even if you just want to come for the dinner and a couple of cocktails and some great stories, it's always a lot of fun. Outdoor air environment, so it's not like you're stuck inside getting smoke all over you or anything like that. It's a good time. We have a really good time. We should just call it the cocktail party because that's kind of what it is. But go to tobaccooutletplusgrocery.com. Get your tickets now because from what I understand, the one in Wausau is selling very fast. The one in Sussex at Ironwood Golf Course comes with or without golf, whichever you want to do. But we're going to play some golf out there as well, then have the cigar dinner after the fact. But that's going to be a really, really good one. And then in Chippewa Falls, that's actually the night of a Packers game. So we're going to have a good time there as well. Get your tickets now. Go to tobaccooutletplusgrocery.com. Let's bring in our green and gold analyst, Paul Emig, shall we?
The latest news and analysis on your green and gold? Well, we better call Paul.
Paul Emig, our green and gold analyst, joining us on the Schneider Orange Hotline. Paul, how are you doing today?
Hey, Bill, doing well. How are you?
Can't complain too much. I do know that everything is quiet. No news is good news. On the other hand, you talk about maybe the Cincinnati Bengals linebacker saying that Aaron Rodgers is easy to sack because he holds onto the ball so long. I saw that the other day.
I saw it too. And you know what? His explanation is actually, like, I think as a headline, that's a pretty, you know, big statement to make. Mm-hmm. And then you read his explanation, and it actually makes sense. He's like, Carl Lawson said, you know, Rodgers stands in the pocket longer than most guys. He scrambles more than most guys. He pats the ball looking for receivers downfield. So, like, if you're looking for me to, like, check off the validity of the statement, you know, what he's saying makes sense. And then
Correct. He
compares it to Tom Brady, and Tom Brady and some of those peers of Tom Brady get rid of the ball much faster. And you know what, Bill? For me, there are a couple things that I think I'll be watching most closely with Rodgers in the offense this year. One we can't really like make heads or tails of probably a lot, and that is how much is Rodgers changing things or altering things at the line of scrimmage. Now I know that the Matt LaFleur offense has, you know, basically where there's a run and a pass option where it's like an either or type of thing, and we'll never really know how many of that. So we'll be watching for that, but we won't really be able to like know with definitive conclusion how many times Rodgers has changed the call. The other one that I'm looking for is, does LaFleur force, encourage, whatever term you want to use, Rodgers to get rid of the ball quicker. For me, like, if Rodgers is going to have a good aging process as a quarterback in the NFL, he needs to get rid of the ball quicker. And I'll add to that, he needs to the team, the offense, needs to hand the ball off more. Or, if not handing it off, needs to have very, very quick, you know, passes to running backs out of the backfield that are, you know, basically running plays, but count as passing plays, right? So, So the validity of the statement, you know, like, as the headline, it's kind of like, really? Like, Rodgers is the easiest to sack? But there's been a lot of times, Bill, where you'll look back, in fact, last year, where you'll look back and you'll say, wait, Rodgers was sacked that much? The Packers must have a garbage offensive line. And, I mean, for me, all you have to do is watch the games, and then you can say, most of the time, yes, I mean, are there plays where the offensive line has given up sacks? Of course. It's the NFL. There's great defenses across the league. The Packers division in particular has very good defenses in Minnesota and Detroit. I mean, Detroit. Minnesota and Chicago. So, but having said all that, it's like I think he needs to get rid of it quicker. So, again, the headline's a bit grabby, but then you look into it more, and I think there's a point to be made there. And it was already one of the things that I'd be watching with Rodgers is, does he get rid of the ball quicker as he ages, and how much impact does LaFleur have in that process?
Now, they say he's the easiest to sack. Also, I mean, I know Bob McGinn wrote about this a long time ago in the Journal Sentinel about Aaron Rodgers hanging on the ball too long and thus giving up sacks because of it. Aaron Rodgers is also looking downfield. He's also been one of the more successful downfield passers, which is the reason he hangs onto the ball, to allow things to open up downfield. So it comes as a catch-22. As far as being the easiest to sack, I mean, come on. One of the guys that I think is the most athletic in the National Football League, when it comes to the elusiveness and avoiding the sack and actually creating things with his feet and his athleticism, has been Aaron Rodgers, correct?
Yes. For sure, throughout his career, undoubtedly. I think if you look at the last 2 years, what's really hard to judge is how much has Rodgers been slowed because of his injuries. Like, I think of this past season, for example, when defensive linemen who never, ever would have caught Rodgers in the past as he scrambled left or scrambled right were now catching him. And we don't know. I don't know. I mean, obviously he had injuries that he's dealing with. But will those injuries ever fully heal themselves, or will this just kind of be like, you know, something that just does sort of, and of course he'll be less injured, he'll be healed, but it's not like something that, like, on a knee, like a 35-year-old knee is not going to move as well as a 25-year-old knee, no matter how well you take care of it, no matter how few of injuries you've suffered in terms of like ACLs or anything else from a major perspective. But I agree with you for like the vast majority of Rodgers' career, he has been very, very difficult to sack, and he does look for guys to get open downfield to make the big play. My only two counters to that would be, one, he got caught more from behind in the past couple of years than I think what I'm used to. But again, injury-related, maybe, but nonetheless, it did seem to happen. And then the second part of it would just be that I personally, Bill, if I was running the offense, I wouldn't want those long extended plays to be a part of the Rodgers recipe anymore. And I think if you look into it and you say, like, well, McCarthy's fundamental offense was based on the idea of wide receivers winning their one-on-one matchups. Well, sometimes it takes even a Davante Adams, who has been called, and I would probably agree, the best route runner in football. Even the best route runner in football sometimes takes 5, 6, 7 seconds to truly, truly get open for a big play. And a lot of time, you know, you're not going to get 5, 6, 7 seconds to throw the ball unless you scramble, unless you do things to elongate the play as the quarterback. If the Matt LaFleur offense is different than the Mike McCarthy offense, which on paper it's completely different, he should be, you know, what we've learned from him in Tennessee and what we know about the Shanahan offense that he's modeled it after is that he's going to try to scheme guys open much more quickly in the flow of the offense. So by, you know, if that ends up playing itself out, it shouldn't take 5 seconds for Adams to get open. It shouldn't take Rodgers scrambling for that play to develop. It should happen in 2 seconds. It should happen much more quickly. And that, again, for me, because we are never going to know who's changing what at the line of scrimmage down to a T and know it as a perfect science, what we will know is how quickly Rodgers is getting rid of the ball, and that will have a direct product into how many times he gets sacked. And I think because Rodgers has played the same way for so long, if it does look different, if he is sacked less, if his time spent before throwing the ball is less, we can directly then contribute that to LaFleur, his system and his working with Rodgers and making sure that, you know, yeah, as Rodgers, you know, gets into his upper 30s, as Rodgers has had a long career of injuries sort of piling up and everything, that there needs to be adjustments. And so, yeah, that's a huge thing to watch is if Rodgers' time clock to throw the ball gets less and less as he works more and more with LaFleur's offense.
Hey, real quick before I let you go, we're talking with Paul Emig, our Green and Gold analyst. I wanted to ask you about, there's people that are now saying, as we look through, look forward to the season, the NFL Network is talking about projections and wins and loss totals and such, and people are saying, well, the Packers are sitting at 9. Fair number?
So, like, power rankings, Packers 9?
Packers 9 wins.
Yeah, I mean, if you totally top of my head was to come up with teams that, you know, would be ahead of them.
Now, I don't know if that puts them in the postseason or not, but 9 wins, you're talking above 500, a rookie head coach.
Oh, I'm sorry. So 9 wins. I thought you meant ranked 9th.
No. 9 wins.
9 wins. Oh, gosh. For me, that feels low, Bill. Like, you're right. 9 wins is far from a postseason guarantee. I was more flirting with, are they the 9th? You know, should they be ranked 9th in some of the preseason power rankings? And for me, that kind of sounded right. If you're saying 9 wins.
No, I was watching, they were doing on the NFL Network, I don't know, maybe it was mid last week, and they were saying, no, the Packers are sitting at about 9 wins when they go through the schedule and wins and losses. And I'm thinking, okay, you know what? Because of the question marks, because of the uncertainty via the offense, they don't know how good the defense is going to be even with the upgrades. So they're better than what they were last year, but are they playoff worthy sitting at 9 wins? That might not be a terribly unfair assessment. I would say maybe 10, give or take a game here or there, but I don't think I could go much higher than that off of what we saw last year.
And I know it's a fine line, but for me, a 10-win season is a successful season. A 9-win season is a failure. And I know that's you know, the difference in one win, but truly that's, 10-6 is going to get you in the postseason, whether you win your division or the wild card, that's going to get you in, I don't know, 85, 90% of the time. 9-7, this is, that's the difference between the meaningfulness of one MLB game, of which there's 162, one win or loss in NBA season, of which there are 82, versus the NFL, which is one win, 10-6 versus 9-7, probably decreases your playoff odds by, 30-40%, if not more?
Right.
So, no, Bill, if they're a 9-7 team and Rodgers played the majority of that season, if not the entire season, healthy and available, that's a failure. I don't think Mark Murphy, if you told Mark Murphy right now, hey, Mark, 9-7, thoughts? He would say, who do I fire?
Right.
Who do I trade? Who do I fire? Because I don't think in any way, shape, or form the Packers should be looking at, at themselves as a 9-7 type team. And I can bet you a lot that Mark Murphy is not going to, sit handily and say, 9-7, I get it. It's a rebuilding year, a new coach. 9-7, I think, would be completely unacceptable. And honestly, I was, as someone who kind of started considering them at the front of your question when I misunderstood it as the 9th-ranked team and maybe a preseason power ranking, the 9th-ranked team in football is not winning 9 games.
Right. They're
winning 10 or 11. So, I would take the over on 9, I think.
I feel like I should. It just, from what I saw last year, it kind of bothers me. So I'm going to have to kind of mull this over as we get more closer to the season. Good stuff, Paul. We'll talk to you soon.
Okay, thanks.
All right,
Bill.
Pal, there you go. Paul Emig, our Green and Gold analyst, joining us for a couple of minutes on the Schneider Orange Hotline. Schneider hiring drivers right now. You work hard. They treat you fair. 80-plus years they've been getting it done. Call them 844-PRIDE or go to schneiderjobs.com. Listen up, Cousin Subs. They've been doing it for a long time and all the way through Sunday now to promote the delivery service. They're giving you free delivery. It's that simple. Free delivery right now. So all you got to do is call, or I shouldn't say call, but go to cousinsubs.com. That's cousinsubs.com. And check it out for yourself because they've got free delivery now through Sunday at many of the locations, both in Wisconsin and in Illinois. All you have to do is go to cousinsubs.com, place your order, see if delivery's available at your select location, and you are good to go. It's that simple. All from Cousin Subs, where they believe in better, the official sub sandwich of the Bill Michaels Sports Talk Network. The Brewers trying to get starting pitching, but is it the right starting pitching? Next on the Bill Michaels Show.
You're listening to the Bill Michaels Sports Talk Network.
Welcome back. We are glad you are on board. The Michael Show continues on. This portion of the program brought to you by our friends at Neumel Medical, treating guys with ED erectile dysfunction. This time of year, you don't want to have that. Come on. Out there enjoying your life. Enjoy all of your life. Let Neumel Medical Center help. The medical experts, by the way, at Neumel Medical. Or if you just have the low T, you don't have any energy, and the brain fog is kind of taking you over. Low T is out there. They can help you with it, though. Also, the all-in-one weight loss program. Call them regarding that. And it works. But you can't do anything without a phone call. 414-455-4451. That's 414-455-4451. That's the Neumel Medical Center. So the Brewers are looking for starting pitching. We were talking with Adam McAlvey a little bit earlier today, and one of the things that came up was Madison Bumgarner. And Ken Rosenthal reporting that the Brewers are one of the teams that are in on Madison Bumgarner. Madison Bumgarner not necessarily having the best of seasons. I guess they're searching, you know what I mean? They're trying to see if he would be a good fit, but you know, Madison Bumgarner is not the Madison Bumgarner from years ago. You know what I mean? Go back to the year that he won 16 games, 18 games. He was 18-9 back in 2015. Not anywhere near as good. He had a 2.93 ERA at that point. He had a whip of 1.008. Now he is 5-7. With an ERA over 4 and a whip of 1.20, which is not awesome. He does have the strikeouts to show for it, and he doesn't walk many batters. I mean, he's been good in that sense. But he has given up 17 long balls already this season, and he is on pace to give up more home runs this year than he has in his entire career. He has thrown 111 and two-thirds innings so far and has given up 17 dingers. But you look at his strikeout-to-walk ratio, and it's about as good as it's been. 115 strikeouts so far to 24 walks. Control has been somewhat of an issue at times, because he has already hit 5 batters this year, which, again, he is on pace to kind of set his own record, so to speak, which is not a record you want to take place in. But nevertheless, I mean, it's not a terrible deal, but it's not great either. So would Madison Bumgarner be the answer? And, I mean, part of it just could be like, look, it just – Time for some new pastures. You know what I mean? He's given up 58 runs, only 50 of them earned, 17 dingers, 24 walks, 2 of those intentional, by the way, 115 strikeouts. He's only had 1 wild pitch. But he's already, when you look at his inning, because back in 2017 he had the injury, he threw 111 innings that year. So in comparison, go back to 2017, when he threw the same amount of innings. He was 4-9 with a 3.32 ERA. He was actually pitching pretty well, just wasn't winning ball games. And sometimes we all know winning statistics aren't necessarily the best way to judge a pitcher. But 5-7 with a 4.03 ERA, so almost three-quarters of a point higher, three-quarters of a run higher this year than he was just a couple of years ago. Last year, a 3.26 ERA, had a 6-7 season, threw 129 and two-thirds innings, had 109 strikeouts and 43 walks in that season. So actually, his strikeouts are better this year in less innings, and his walks are down. So he's actually been better, but he's not the Madison Bumgarner that went, you know, a few years ago, 15-9, and was a Cy Young candidate and an MVP candidate. But he's only 3 years removed from that. So would Madison Bumgarner fill the bill? Do you want to see him come into a Brewers jersey as the Brewers try to pursue, at least according to Ken Rosenthal, as the Brewers are pursuing Madison Bumgarner to possibly fill one of the depth issues that they have right now in the starting rotation? Maybe to stabilize things. 855-830-8648, 855-830-8648. Give us a shout. We'd love to hear from you if you think Madison Bumgarner would be a good or a bad fit in this Brewers organization. Hey, by the way, is it just me or is grass growing like crazy right now? You can almost hear it grow, right? That means a lot of mowing, lots and lots and lots of mowing. I'm cutting my grass probably twice a week now. With that in mind, I want to share something with you. I was talking to my friends at the Wisconsin Biofuels Association. The E15, you know I support it, right? You know I use it. You know it saves you money. You know it supports Wisconsin jobs. You know it doesn't ruin your car's engine, right? You know all that, right? But it is not, I repeat, not for your lawnmower, your garden tractor, your chainsaw, the outboard motor on your boat, none of that, the rototiller, or any other small engine. Cars are tested by the EPA and approved to use E15 or the unleaded 88. But they do not test those small engines the same way, so don't use it in those. When you go to fill your gas can up at the gas station, just stick with the regular unleaded and don't go with the E88. I mean, normally I'm promoting that. But I've had some people that have shot some emails over and said, hey, is this stuff good for this? And it's kind of remind you, no. Stick with the E10, ethanol 10% for those engines. When you're filling up your red gas can, choose regular unleaded. When you're filling up your car, your truck, E15 or the flex fuel vehicles, the E85. You know what I'm saying? So make sure you stick with the right stuff for the right cause and the right purpose. We just don't want to have any misinformation out there. And if you want any information on it, it's really easy. Go to wibiofuels.org. That is wibiofuels.org. Do you want to see Madison Bumgarner come into the organization? Would he be a good fit? Would he be a good fit? This one's from Luke. Luke writes in Wendy's email inbox, fresh, never frozen. He says, I'd love to see Mad Bum come into town. He would at least be a guy that you could rely upon every start to give you more than five innings. Madison Bumgarner has a proven track record. Maybe just getting into a Brewers organization and a real chance at a postseason would reignite his career. I think he's a good pitcher, not a great pitcher anymore, but the Brewers just need good with the offense that they have. I'm all for it. Ethan says, depends on what you're going to give up. If you want to give up a lot, then heck no, you don't need Madison Bumgarner. But if you just need a couple of donkeys coming out of your minor league system, by all means, go for it. I don't think they're going to ask for donkeys. Just an FYI. Thought I'd throw it out there. 855-830-8648. We'll talk about that and so much more coming up. Stay tuned. More of the Bill Michaels Show right after this.
Border to border. The Bill Michaels Sports Talk Network.
We're glad you are back. Don't forget, tomorrow night you should be back to the Wisconsin State Fair Park in the Budweiser Pavilion as the Cheap Shots take the stage tomorrow night, 7 o'clock. Gates open up at 6. Free admission for everybody. And they have free parking for motorcyclists. If you are driving in a vehicle, in a car, it's, I think, $6. But it's a tremendous time. Looks like the weather's going to be warming up. I know there's a chance of a shower, but hopefully it stays away, but man, it's good to be back out of the Wisconsin State Fair Park again tomorrow night, Wednesday Night Live, back at the Budweiser Pavilion, all brought to you by our friends at Bud Light, the official beer sponsor of the Bill Michaels Sports Talk Network. Adam McAlvey of Brewers.com and MLB.com joined us a little bit earlier today, and man, we were both kind of wowed by what we witnessed last night, so we got his opinion on what he thought of that home run derby.
It was good. It made me think Christian Yelich maybe made the right decision. I mean, not that Yelich couldn't do it and hit a bunch of homers, but Vlad Jr. put on quite a show. And I would say, even though Pete Alonso won, the thing we'll remember about that derby looking back is probably going to be Vlad.
First of all, I would agree with you. And as I explained earlier, it's not just a matter of hitting some home runs. It's a matter of hundreds of swings as hard as you can. And that could be the thing that could damage your back.
And I think it's also very notable that Yelich did the practice on Friday afternoon at PNC Park, and it was great. And he was, you know, he gave us the great story about hitting the boat, and the guy called the cops because the barrage of baseballs was coming so fast. The guy thought someone was doing it on purpose, like throwing him out there or something.
Right.
And it was a great story. But then the day later, his back sore. So, you know, I don't know that that's causation, but it certainly is enough reason to think that this was a wise decision. And if there was any question about being able to carry that load of swings, it was a good call to, you know, to bag it. Look, $1 million is pretty good. The glory of the thing. And the other thing was, I mean, this hurt Yelich. If you know anything about him, it's that he hates letting people down. Some guys would say no and have no problem with it. Some guys would say, no, I don't feel like going to the All-Star game and have no problem with it. And that's fine. But that's not Yelich. And I think that the fact that he had people coming and that he had committed to it and all those things sounds sort of corny. But I think that really hurt him to have to pull out of the thing. And the fact that he did shows you that this was a pretty clear-cut case of being the right thing to do, to not risk it.
Yeah, first of all, I completely agree. And as I had mentioned, when you're doing everything you can to hit home runs versus just play your regular game, it just becomes different. It puts a different strain on your back. And he's going to play a couple of innings. He's probably going to get maybe 2 at-bats at most, you know, maybe 5 to 7 swings, a little bit of BP. I don't see him doing what he would be doing if he was in the home run derby.
No, absolutely not. And look, if you were watching last night, you saw it at the end. So you go into the derby, and I think you think about swinging at like 70, 75%. The baseballs are all wound tight. You know, the ball flies. So you don't have to swing as hard as you can. But, like, I was watching and saw Guerrero's last round, and he was totally gassed. Mm-hmm. And at that point, you start swinging early. You got to get out in front of the baseball and hit it in a different contact point. Because you're tired. You're not swinging the bat with the same velocity that you were. So you got to cheat a little bit to get it. And even watching Vlad do it, it makes you go like, oh man, it just like makes your obliques hurt and your back hurt watching even a 20-year-old kid doing it. And that I think is the danger zone. If he would have gone out there and lost in the first round to Vladimir Guerrero, probably would have been fine. But it's that second and third round where you're tired and you're compromised that it becomes a bigger threat.
So we sit here at the All-Star break, kind of the unofficial halfway point of the season, and we're discussing, you know, different things, obviously, with the team. Saladino has not been a great experiment since he has come back. I mean, I know that...
That's a very kind way to put it.
Yes, it is. But look, he's got under 30 at-bats, you know? I mean, it's a very small litmus test, and normally we'd be saying, hey, give the guy till 50 to 100. So, but it has not been good. This team... we were sitting here going through some of the statistics. They're underperforming in just about every category. Obviously, there are some individual performances that are good, but when it comes to the team as a whole, they're underperforming. I think part of it is you can't recapture what you did last year in the same clubhouse atmosphere and the same attitude because the pieces aren't the same. So there is differences. But what if you had to put your finger on something to say this team needs to do this better, what would it be?
Pitch.
See,
not,
I agree.
Yeah, I'm not breaking news that you don't need to be a pitching coach. You don't need to be a GM. You don't need to have an advanced degree in analytics to know that they need to pitch better. They're a run worse in the starting rotation at this time than they were a year ago. And they had some trouble in the starting rotation at the beginning of last year before getting it ironed out. And it was Chacin leading the way. It was Wade Miley coming back from some injuries. They got enough from that rotation, despite some bad things happening, and then they had that killer bullpen at the back end. They haven't stabilized. They did for a little bit after Gio Gonzalez signed, but then it got bad again. And, you know, Corbin Burns didn't work out. Freddie Peralta hasn't worked out. Jimmy Nelson didn't work out. Adrian Hauser hasn't worked out. They've tapped into a lot of their depth to try to find some stability in the starting rotation besides Brandon Woodruff and Zach Davies, and they haven't found it. So, you know, the question now for David Stearns is if he adds, he's going to add something, he's going to add pitching at the deadline. But how big is he going to be able to go, and how big is he going to be willing to go based on the fact that, you know, you can add a couple of pieces, but to get to where they want to go, you're just going to need the guys that you have already to be better. So how confident are you that, say, Jolie Chacin can be better? How confident are you that Corbin Burns, even if it's a bullpen role the rest of the way, can stabilize and not be the kind of home run machine that he's been? How confident are you in Josh Hader holding up under this different role as closer? Especially with when you don't have Jeremy Jeffress at the height of his powers like he was last year. You don't have Corey Knebel at all because he's hurt. There's a lot of questions to be answered about what they already have before you start thinking about what David Stearns might add. And the next 3 weeks are going to be so critical for Stearns to make the determination of how aggressive he wants to be at this deadline, because that's going to impact not just the final 2 months, but it's going to have an impact the next couple of years. And just to throw one example out there, if you think the Brewers need to go get a top starting pitcher, if you want them to get a Bumgarner or a Bauer or one of the other big names out there, you got to trade Keston Hira. I think you have to be realistic about that. Maybe not Bumgarner because of where he's at contract-wise, but if you want a real impact guy, if you want Trevor Bauer, I think you have to be willing to trade Keston Hira. And I don't know that they're going to do that. So there's a lot happening, I think, in the next couple of weeks where they're going to have to make some hard decisions and some realistic decisions about exactly where they stand.
The Madison Bumgarner thing keeps coming up, and we're getting more wind of this today. Is he the answer?
Well, I mean, it depends how you view him. If you look at Madison Bumgarner as the guy who dominated in the World Series, certainly can make a difference. That's a guy who brings in some attitude, and he would elevate, you'd think he would elevate your other guys just by adding him. But then if you're a believer in the numbers, the hard hit rate has been well publicized. It's one of the worst in baseball. He just gives up a lot of hard contact. Three games, if people stayed up and watched those games, well, you didn't have to stay up. Two of them were weekend day games. Watch those games in San Francisco. You can live with hard contact at AT&T Park. I think it'd be a different story at Miller Park. So, it all depends on sort of what you view Madison Bumgarner as, whether you buy the recent improvements after he made a couple of tweaks. I think he's a guy where if you had 10 different scouts on your air and asked them, you'd get a real variety of answers.
Who else is out there that this team could go after in the starting realm? That you think could be a viable candidate, because we can just throw any name out there, but that there's an actual candidate out there that might be a part of that.
Look, there's that's really hard for me to say, because I'm not on the phone with David Stearns as he's having these conversations with the other GMs, because teams that hold starting assets are not gonna, they're gonna want to make it seem like they don't want to trade the guy. Mm-hmm. Look. I feel like when I hear from fans, they want like a difference maker. And I keep the name Bauer keeps coming up to me. And who knows if the Indians would be willing to do that. That's a guy who you could put in and like make a huge difference. But that's a guy who's going to come at a huge cost as well. And think back to CC Sabathia when the Brewers got him. Matt LaPorta was as good a prospect as there was. And that was a painful deal, I think. At the time. And obviously in hindsight, everybody loved it because of what CC Sabathia did. But that was I think it's worth remembering sort of how much that hurt to trade Matt LaPorta because of how highly regarded he was at the time. And I think to get a difference maker now, it would take a similarly painful trade. But Bauer, Marcus Stroman is a guy, you hear Marcus Stroman's name a lot. I need to go through the list more of myself, I think, to see. And I think we're just going to see more names come out in the next couple of weeks, because if we know anything about baseball, it's going to go to the deadline, because, the days of kind of the Doug Melvin making an early trade and paying a higher price to get a guy for a few extra starts, I just don't think today's GM does that. It's much more deadline driven. They want every bit of information they can possibly get, every offer on the table they can possibly get, before they make a deal. And it makes me think that stuff's going to go down to that last week.
Talking with Adam McCalvey at Brewers.com and MLB.com, one more thing, and that is, so what is the likelihood that this team, instead of going after starting pitching, goes after relief pitching?
High.
I think so, too.
And it's history that makes you think that, because if you think, David Stearns has had three trade deadlines, and he's been either, a clear seller the first year or a clear buyer the next two. In all three of them. And the years he's been a buyer, he's gotten, in 17, it was Anthony Swarzak and Jeremy Jeffress, two deals that really helped him. And then last year, among many trades, he got Soria to, a former closer to really make kind of a solid back end of the bullpen. So, you know, that just makes me – that's an area where he's had success adding before. They've got keys that they look for in players' numbers and try to identify pieces that they think can help over a short period of time. And they've hit on those trades. The reliever trades can be really tricky because you just get a guy for such a small number of innings that there's a lot of chance involved in terms of just where he's at, how he's throwing the ball in the several weeks that you happen to have him. So there's a lot of volatility in trading for relievers, but Stearns has done a good job so far of picking the right guys and had success. So I would say the probability is high that he does that again. And again, because there's a need. Corey Knebel, I don't know that we've talked enough about how huge a loss that was, mm-hmm. and the kind of trickle-down effect that that had. That's, you know, in some ways you can say they've done a good job covering for him just because of how important he was to that mix. And also, you know, with Jeremy Jeffress, again, not being the lights-out Jeremy Jeffress that he was, the fact that they've held it together decently, you know, that's in some ways a success story, even though the numbers aren't what they want in the big picture. So I think there's a need to add there as well, and that's what makes me think that it's likely that he does something.
There you go. Adam McKelvey from a little bit earlier today joining us in the Schneider Orange Hotline, giving you his thoughts. I think it's going to be more, you know, I would love to see them get a starting pitcher, and if it all works out, then tremendous. But you would have to lean percentage-wise anyway over to the reliever side of the fence. But we'll wait and see as the trade deadline continues to approach and marches forward. We're sitting here today at the All-Star break, All-Star game coming up tonight. Hey, by the way, make this a summer to remember. Not just because of the All-Star game, but maybe you're going to get out and do some riding. You're going to enjoy yourself. Make it a summer to remember at Wisconsin Harley-Davidson out in Oconomowoc. Rides, live events, bike nights, barbecues. They got a ton of stuff going on out there. Just check them out online at WISHD.com. Maybe it's your year to ride. And if you're looking for a new motorcycle or a pre-owned motorcycle, they've got a huge selection and a terrific staff. They're going to help you find the bike that is just right for you. And while you're at Wisconsin Harley-Davidson, also don't forget to check out all the motor clothes that they have. And they're fashionable stuff, not just the big boxy T-shirts and the ugly old jeans. They got a lot of cool stuff out there. If I'm going to go shop for motor clothes for Harley-Davidson stuff, that's the place to go without a doubt. For helmets, leathers, everything else as well, make it Wisconsin Harley-Davidson out in Oconomowoc. Follow them on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. Again, Wisconsin Harley-Davidson located just west of Milwaukee, minutes west of Milwaukee, just off of 94, just to the south of the highway. You can see it right from the highway. Take exit 282 on Highway 67 in Oconomowoc. You are good to go. And for more information on inventory, events, and so much more, go to WISHD.com. That is WISHD.com. If you're a criminal, I don't recommend you being a criminal, but if you're going to do anything when you do, and you're going to run from police, there's one thing you don't want to do. I'll tell you what that is next on the Bill Michael Show.
16 stations strong. The Bill Michaels Sports Talk Network.
Welcome back. Bill Michaels Show continues on. Hey, real quick, I was reading this story, and all this kind of stuff makes me giggle. I don't know why, but it does. If you're a dude, for whatever reason, it just does. Law enforcement in Missouri, coming out of Liberty, Missouri. Northland, by the way, the community. They were chasing a suspect, an alleged criminal. The Clay County Sheriff's Office, by the way, involved in this. So they're tracking this guy, and they can't really find him, and they've got the dog out, right? He's running through a neighborhood. There's a wooded area in the neighborhood. They can't really find the guy. They're not quite sure. The dog has a scent, but it's kind of all over the place. The guy was running all over the place. He was wanted for possession of a controlled substance when he took off out of the vehicle that they were you know, chasing him in. And he takes off into the woods, and the dude, when the dog is on your trail and the dog is sniffing for the scent, one thing that's a dead giveaway is the dude let one go so loud everybody knew where he was. I'm like, really? They're walking through the woods. The dog can't really pick up the scent until, I mean, so loud that everybody in the whole woods heard it. I guess it was like Robin Hood and the Merry Men all partying or something. And dude gave away his position because the dog went, ew. And then just kind of pointed over there and told the officer, you go get him. I'm not going to get him. The dude ate a Taco Bell or something. But nevertheless, the guy gave away his hiding spot because he, as the sheriff's office put it, passed gas so loudly that he gave up his own hiding spot. Quote, we've got to give props to the Liberty Police Department for using their senses to sniff out the criminal. There you have it. If you're on the run, don't eat anything gassy. Thought I'd throw it out there. Make your day a little bit better. I would pretty much say do not commit a crime, but there you go. For anybody that's a career criminal, stay away from any bean dip. You'll be much better off. Hey, tomorrow we'll pick up where we left off regarding the Russell Westbrook discussion. Tomorrow, Steve Ashburner from NBA.com. I'm going to ask him that same question, if that would be a good fit here, and we'll get his take on all of this. Also, we'll talk with our buddy Seth Everett. We'll talk to him about, we'll kind of follow up from the Anthony Vetrato article about how baseball needs to showcase some different things to get themselves in a better position. We'll get into that discussion tomorrow as well. And also, when you're talking about the faces of baseball, I think you have to put Christian Yelich up on that box, right? He has to be there. He's got to be one of the top two or three faces in all of baseball. Got to use him that way. Is baseball doing it right? We'll get into that discussion tomorrow as well. Time for us to go. I can't believe it's been this quick, but it is. Time for us to go. Have a good one. Boop.
Everywhere in Wisconsin, the Bill Michaels Sports Talk Network.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.